From WBUR in Boston, it's Weekly Warm-Up, a sampling of the cornucopia of stories and interviews featured on Only a Game, sports public radio style. This is the Only a Game podcast for Thursday, February 23rd. Michael Kuhn and Harold Bloom are attorneys, and you'd think that would be enough, but no. They are also co-authors of a book entitled The Baseball Uncyclopedia, and once I had agreed not to refer to Howard as Harold, which has apparently happened somewhere else and miffed him more than somewhat, and also stipulated that I would not call the book The Baseball Unencyclopedia, which also must have happened somewhere else, the two lawyer writers consented to talk with me about their book. One of the more lively arguments apparent in the Baseball Uncyclopedia concerns former Baltimore Orioles shortstop Cal Ripken. Harold Bloom maintains that despite the fact that Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive games played, or perhaps more accurately because he broke that record, Ripken is overrated. Michael Kuhn contends that Ripken is a god. And so I began our conversation by suggesting that we discuss Mr. Ripken.
I, of course, believe that Cal Ripken should never even be allowed inside of the Hall of Fame. Cal Ripken was a .276 lifetime batter, and Cal Ripken did nothing but drag his team down by playing and not taking himself out of the lineup when he should have, just in the name of a record.
Okay, so Michael, do we move right along, or have you got something to say?
I'm ashamed to know, Howard. It is shameful that he's even a part of my life, that I've written a book with this man who doesn't understand what a great ball player Cal Ripken was.
I should point out, in case it hasn't already become evident, that you guys did not write the entries in the Baseball Uncyclopedia together. Each passage is followed by the initials of the man responsible. So, Michael, I want you to focus on another of your opinions. You maintain that, quote, every single one of us would trade some portion of our lives just to have had Drungo Haywood's career. Why is that?
Now, when I say every single one of us, I mean every single one of us who would pick up a book like the Baseball Encyclopedia. There are people out there that wouldn't pick it up and that couldn't care less. I would say I'm one of possibly eight people on this planet who even remember who Drungo Haywood was. He was a back in the early 1980s, he was the prize prospect of the Baltimore Orioles. He was going to be the next Frank Robinson. He came up at the end of the 1980 season, I believe it was, and we all raced over to see him play. He got five at-bats, struck out four times, and we never heard from him again. And it's easy to make jokes about him, but at the same time, when you get right down to it, a lot of us true baseball fans to been able to play two games in the major leagues, even if we only get five at-bats and strike out four times, hey, I would have done it, and so, I suspect most fans would do it.
It's a dream come true.
Okay, so your contention is that the true baseball fan never grows up.
That's probably true, sure. And the true baseball fan probably has a name that's not quite as much fun as Drungo Haywood.
All right, Howard, one of your entries maintains that wearing a good luck shirt while watching a game on TV, especially if it's a good luck TV, actually works. How did you prove that, at least to your own satisfaction?
Well, the Red Sox won the 2004 World Series. They won it because I wore a Los Angeles Angels T-shirt during the entire playoff series and during the World Series. I sat in the same spot, and I watched on the same television every minute of every one of those games. And if you need more proof than that, then you really, I think, are beyond hope on that issue.
Right. And your law practice survived all this.
It did.
I'm glad.
Yes.
Michael, for me, perhaps the most welcome assertion that you make in the Baseball Encyclopedia is, quote, all those books about the Red Sox, it doesn't make sense. At the risk of alienating a lot of our listeners, please explain that contention.
Absolutely. And I will preface this by saying that I am a lifelong Red Sox fan. But if, and as we discuss in our book, if you go to a bookstore and you go to the sports section and you go to the baseball section, they usually have a few shelves of books there.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be the general books, the baseball encyclopedia, and some general books about the all-time greats. And then you have a whole shelf of books all about the Yankees and all the World Series they've won, and a whole shelf of books about the Red Sox and all the World Series they didn't win. Oh, and this one that we just won back in 2004. And it's as if no other team has ever won the World Series, when, of course, every year some team wins the World Series. But we didn't get books about the Toronto Blue Jays back in the 1980s. We didn't get books about the Phillies. We didn't get books about these other teams that won. At the same time, the books about the Red Sox losing the World Series and this bridesmaids history that they've had, well, I don't know how to break this to Red Sox fans, but every year, every team but one loses. Every year, every team but one doesn't win the World Series. And there's nothing more interesting about the Red Sox losing every year than about any other team losing every year.
And that the sound you hear, by the way, is the clicking off of radios all across New England.
No, I hope not. I mean, part of it, and I know you've read this already. Part of what I've said there is, and again, I come from the perspective of a lifelong Red Sox fan, is we need to kind of put the game and put the Red Sox and put baseball and our passion in the right place. And frankly, I think sometimes we take the games to heart, and the games play such a large role in our life, more of a role than that they do for the players. I've seen Red Sox fans weeping when we lose games.
Including you.
The players themselves don't seem to be weeping. Next time, and this is Red Sox fans or any baseball fans that get upset when their team loses a game, next time you feel yourself getting upset, just go take your wife to dinner instead. Go play with your kids.
Sounds like very good advice, and it leads to this question. To what extent was this book written as a kind of irreverent response to all the saberish tributes to statistics and their interpretation, the kind of over-seriousness embodied there?
I think that's really what was our impetus in the first place, was that I think both Howard and I were getting a little tired of hearing everybody always doing two things with baseball. One is either focusing so much on the statistics and creating new statistics to talk about baseball, so much so that you don't actually enjoy the game itself, or taking it from another perspective, talking about how baseball is a metaphor for life, and help us understand who we are as a people, and talking about it in those kind of terms that also seem to lose the fact that it's a fun game. Go watch. Hey, look, this guy just hit a home run. That guy just dove and caught a ball. Either perspective, you lose the fun of the game.
You go along with this perspective, Howard, that baseball is in fact not a metaphor for life?
No. I disagree completely.
Excellent.
Baseball is actually and absolutely a metaphor for life.
You know, I hope Cal Ripken drives over to your home and kicks your rear end, Howard.
You know, I saw a fat, overweight guy in a Baltimore Orioles shirt and cleats the other day, hanging outside my house. Did you give him my address?
No, but I will now, and I will to any Baltimore Orioles fans that happen to be listening. You can email me, and I'll send you Howard's address.
Michael, whole books have been written about the eight members of the Chicago White Sox who were banned from baseball for conspiring to throw the 1919 World Series, but only in your book have I seen the contention that it's Kevin Costner's fault that Joe Jackson is not in the Hall of Fame. Did you get struck by this notion when you realized you guys just didn't have enough stuff for a book yet?
He's on to us, Mike.
not at all. I firmly believe that had Kevin Costner been able to continue his hot streak of movies back in the 1980s, people forget that back in the 1980s, at least, Kevin Costner was the biggest movie star alive. He had a couple of he was on a streak for a few years, but most importantly, he had the two big baseball movies that came out within two or three years of each other, Field of Dreams and Bull Durham. And with Field of Dreams in particular, and people have wildly different opinions of that movie. There are people that love it and felt like calling their fathers up afterwards, and other people that ran to the men's room to be sick. But based after that movie, Field of Dreams, because it was so popular and because Costner was so popular, there was a renewed debate as to whether or not Shoeless Joe Jackson should be allowed into the Hall of Fame, whether he should be reinstated into baseball. And it was a really vigorous, healthy debate about it. And the debate died when Kevin Costner made Waterworld. That was it. Had Kevin Costner made
Joe Jackson rolled in his grave and gave up again.
Had Kevin Costner made a few more movies, Joe Jackson might be in the Hall of Fame.
By the way, guys, I'm all for opinions, but your opinion that Honus Wagner was nicknamed Big Poison just doesn't cut it. And I think it's fair to point that out because fans are always writing the editors of the Baseball Encyclopedia with corrections, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I will tell you, that is a shameful mistake in our book for which the fact checker needs to be fired.
Not either of the authors.
Our editor is listening right now. I want that guy fired. When what Bill's talking about is, we had there's a chapter in the book about nicknames and how there used to be some great, great nicknames, and there just aren't anymore. And unfortunately, the fact checker in going through changed the little section about Lloyd and Paul Wehner, who were known as Big Poison and Little Poison, to Honus Wagner and Lloyd Wagner.
Right.
I don't even know who Lloyd Wagner is. I think he used to be on the Carol Burnett Show.
No, he was actually Honus Wagner's brother, and he played 1 year in the big leagues, and his nickname, if I'm not mistaken, was Butts.
But he also was on the Carol Burnett Show. And
No, Howard, that was Lyle Wagner. That was Lyle Wagner.
Oh, Lyle Wagner,
right.
That's right.
And Bill, I'm going to tell you this, not many people remember this. On the Carol Burnett Show, Lyle Wagner and Tim Conway were known as Big Poison and Little Poison.
So is your next book going to be about TV shows that hardly any of us remember?
I think, actually, Howard and I are already working on the next book with our friend Adam Hoff. It's called The Football Encyclopedia.
But, you know, you also might want to have that fact checker check into the authorship of Harrison Bergeron.
And I'm falling on my sword about that one. This just so your listeners know, there's a chapter of the book that deals with bases on balls, and I start off by telling a little story about a short story that we had to read back in high school. And I was so positive of the authorship of the story of Ray Bradbury that I never even took a second to look at it. And it ended up being the case, and as I now know, that it's actually one of my favorite authors, Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah.
And now, that fact checker, who still should be fired for
twice
for the Honus Wagner thing, I'm taking some of the responsibility on this one, but now I want him fired and I want to run out of town.
On the other hand, your contention that Ty Cobb was not the most evil man ever to walk the planet seems to me completely convincing, especially given some of the other candidates that you present for that distinction.
Yeah, I think that it's true, and you know, people often talk about how Ty Cobb, how evil he was, and there's this great story that is often told, that is repeated in our book, about the time that Ty Cobb ran into the stands and beat up a man who was missing one arm. And actually, the story seems to get better year by year. Originally, I think the story was that he beat up a man with one arm. Then it was that he beat up a man with no arms. And eventually, in a couple years, the story is going to be that he just beat up a disembodied head.
Or Cal Ripken.
But no, I think, you know, I think that really, if we all just calm down a little bit and think about it, you have to admit Joseph Stalin was more evil than Ty Cobb. Adolf Hitler, more evil than Ty Cobb. I think Pol Pot, you have to put ahead of him on the list. Genghis Khan and Kublai Khan, Big Poison and Little Poison Khan. I think we also had Joseph Mengele, Saddam Hussein, Torquemada. But Ty Cobb is 10th. And, you know, he can be proud of that.
Well, I think both of you have established without any doubt your, you know, credentials as baseball fans. So I'll ask both of you, Howard, maybe you first, what are you looking forward to most in the upcoming season?
I'm looking forward to another World Series victory by the Red Sox. I know it taxes my wife to have to wash this T-shirt over and over and over again. But I think the Red Sox will win the World Series in the 2006 baseball season.
And Michael?
I'm very curious to see how fans are going to react to Barry Bonds' attempt to break Hank Aaron's home run record. I really have no sense for how people feel about that. I know how I feel about that. And assuming that he gets close to it, I have no idea whether he's going to be cheered on, whether he's going to be booed, or whether there's just going to be stone-cold silence. And as a baseball fan and as a student of human nature, I'm very curious.
My conversation with Michael Kuhn and Harold Bloom will be featured on Saturday's program, as will a look back at what's been happening at the Olympics and a look forward at what is still to come. We'll also have a story by John Kalish about some high school wrestlers who haven't let blindness prevent them from competing, and we'll welcome in the baseball season with a profile by Greg Eklund of Kyle Denny, the Cleveland Indians pitcher who was shot while wearing a cheerleader's outfit, but he can explain. Charlie Pierce will be with me in the studio, and we'll read from your emails as well. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to Only a Game at onlyagame.org.